take your Bible and I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. Galatians chapter 6. Tonight, we're going to look at lesson number 40 on the subject of relationships. As I said earlier somewhat in the introduction or referring to the sermon, folks, you'll be a success in the Christian life based on two things: your relationship with God and your relationship with people. And if your relationship with God is right, you're going to be pretty good at your relationships with people, because God is a people God. And God loves people, and God's good with people. The Bible is an instruction book on how to be close to God and walk with God and do right by God, and an instruction book on helping people and how you and I can live with people. Galatians chapter 6, verse number 2. Would you stand with me, please? We're going to read, starting with verse number 1. Young people, make sure you're real quiet now. It's not talking time, it's listening time. Galatians chapter 6, starting with verse number 1, it says, "Brethren, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself." Now, if you'll look back at me, the very first word in Galatians chapter 6, verse number 1 is "brethren." God is talking to saved people. Notice he gets to verse 2 and he tells those saved people that we should bear one another's burdens. And in so doing, we're fulfilling the law of Christ. In other words, it's what God would have us to do. It's something that God expects us to do. It's virtually a command of God that we bear one another's burdens. The word "bear" means to help carry. We're going to talk tonight about this: your relationship with someone who has a burden. Let me pray for us, and then we'll get into the lesson. Father, bless us tonight. Your Holy Spirit is what will make or break this service. Then, Father, it'll depend on our surrendering to that Spirit. Lord, right now, in my heart, as the pastor, as the preacher, I surrender to the Holy Spirit of God. I want you to control my thinking. I want you to control what I say. And then, Father, of course, may we all surrender our ears, our perceptions, to the Spirit of God. Tonight, help us not to miss what you would say to us. May we leave here tonight being better at our relationships with those who face the burdens of life. Bless us in a supernatural way. May this not just be a meeting, but may this be a supernatural meeting that makes a difference in people's lives, and may it glorify you. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. If you'll have a seat there, if you're around our church at all, you know that we've had a lot of people that have facing burdens. There are always people in a church that face burdens, but a little extra right now, we have people facing burdens. I have to tell you something. There are right and wrong ways in helping people who are facing burdens. There are right and wrong things to do when people are facing burdens. There are right and wrong things to say when people are facing burdens. Proper care regarding people's burdens, I believe there's a bit of an art to it. I've been to funerals, and of course, don't talk. Look right up here. Don't talk. You look right up here. Okay? I've been to funerals where someone's loved one has passed. There's somebody at the funeral that says something to the grieving one, and I just kind of cringe a little bit on how they handled themselves. They could have chosen their words a little more wisely. They could have been a little more cautious in how they handled themselves. And I'm not saying that they sinned. I'm saying they maybe just not as wise as what they could have been. I believe helping people with burdens, there's a knack to it. It's not a free-for-all. It takes a little bit of thinking. It takes a little bit of planning. It may take some concentration to handle it right. We want to always leave someone that faces a burden, we want to leave them in better shape than when we found them. That's how it always ought to be. Sometimes people go too far with their involvement with someone that faces a burden. Some people don't go far enough. Some people do absolutely nothing because they're so self-absorbed and stingy and disobedient to the Scripture that they do nothing at all. But I believe the Scripture tells us that we fulfill the law of Christ when we help bear the burden of another. It's something then that we're commanded, you and I are commanded to do. This lesson is for someone. If you're sitting out there right now and you say, well, I don't have a burden right now, well, this lesson is for you. I'm going to talk to you about your relationship with the people that do have burdens. But might I say also, if you have a burden right now, and there are a lot of people in this building, hey, not every burden that is represented in this church is made public. There are people here that have some heartaches and they have some burdens that they carry that you know nothing of. And so you don't know about all of them, but may I say, if you have a burden, you've heard me say this before, your burden does not release you from the responsibility of helping others to bear their burden. You say, well, I have one of my own. Well, you have one of your own, and you may have to help someone else bear their burden just a little bit. Realize people with burdens, they may not always be at their best. I would say this, when you're working with people that have burdens, I think of some of the terminology I use a lot in my thinking. If you have a burden and maybe you're not handling yourself real well, I decided a long time ago that people that have a burden, they're going to get a free pass from me. You say, why? Well, their heart's heavy. Their heart's broken. They've faced a real challenge. So always be willing when someone's going through a difficult time, when they're facing a burden, give them a free pass. Understand they might not be the epitome of the fruits of the Spirit because they're facing burden. They're facing a heartache. Give them a free pass. And remember, folks, burdens come for a variety of reasons. And you may not know why. You may not know why your burden has come upon you, but I recommend that you trust God. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not into thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. He shall direct thy paths. You may not understand why your burden is upon you. Maybe you do, but maybe you don't. And you may not understand why somebody else's burden is upon them. And maybe you do, maybe you don't. But you're even going to be less apt to understand somebody else's burden as what you would be to understand your own. And I want you all to understand something. God's got a bigger plan than what you and I could ever conceive. We will never understand everything about God's plan. You might say, I know exactly why this burden has come upon me. It is far more complicated and immense than that. Because somehow your burden reaches into eternity. And only God understands that completely. God, though, I'm going to make you a promise, God does not waste burdens. If a burden has come upon you or someone you love, God does not waste burdens. It's come for a reason. And trust God. He knows what He is doing. Now, the lesson is about your relationship with somebody that has a burden. We're going to turn to 4 or 5 scripture, but I need you to do me a favor. I need you to turn quickly. If we get to the verse and get to reading and you're about 18 books away and I'm done reading the verse and you're still looking for the verse, you might as well just shut her down, get with me, or you'll finally get to the verse and I'll be on the next point. And so let's work quickly so we can get to the teaching. I want you to turn quickly to Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30. Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30, I'm going to read it out loud, and you listen. The Bible says this, Matthew chapter 11, verse number 30. It says, for my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. If you have a red letter edition Bible, that means that Jesus spoke those words while he was here on earth. Oh, let me clarify, every word in the book, whether it's red, yellow, black, or blue, it's all the Word of God. He happened to have spoken those red letters while Jesus walked the face of this earth. And he said, my burden, there's a burden, in other words. Jesus said the burden that comes upon you, the burden that I allow to come upon you, the burden that comes along with your Christianity, he said it's lighter because of Jesus. But it's obvious we are going to face burdens. Let me talk to you a little bit about let's say that someone is facing a relationship burden. Maybe we could interchange the word burden with heartache or challenge. I want to talk to you for just a couple of minutes. I'm going to make a whole bunch of practical applications or suggestions to you if someone that you know is having a relationship burden. There are some right and wrong ways to handle yourself, some right and wrong things to say and do, and I want to help you with that. Let's say that a parent and a child are having a time of conflict, if you will, or burden, or friends, or a boss with an employee, a leader, a follower, a husband, a wife. How do we handle ourselves when someone has a relationship burden? Jesus said the burdens are going to come upon us. How do we handle ourselves? Let me give you some very practical things about this simple thought. First of all, you pray for them. You just pray for them, and sometimes the most powerful thing that you can do, and sometimes the most productive thing you can do is pray. If you say, well, I want to get more practically involved, you may or may not be able to do that, but nothing can stop you from praying. And so I want to always recommend that if there are relationship issues and somebody you know, or it's a friend or a family member, whatever it is, one thing you can do is pray. I'll tell you something. And in a little while, you'll hear this again and again, I'm sure, in one form or another. You talk about it on Facebook. And you talk about it in your emails. And you talk about it texting. And you talk about it to a whole bunch of people more than you pray. You're a bad Christian. You're a bad Christian. Because gossiping about a relationship problem and not praying shows you're not really interested in the people. So, say, what do we do, preacher? Pray. 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 What else? Relationship burden. How could you and I act? How could we help them? And I get to number two. Don't gossip. Don't gossip verbally. Don't do it on Facebook, texting, emails. You know, I'm not gonna go into this, but I am gonna say this. I'm not on Facebook. I'm almost afraid to be on Facebook and be friends with everybody in my church because I see all the trash that you have on there, the pictures, the junk, and all the talk and all the gossip. I don't know if my heart could handle it. You say, Pastor, you already get sometimes mean enough in the pulpit. You might want me not to be on Facebook then. Because I would call the roll. I would talk about some of you that say too much, talk too much, post things that you shouldn't post. From all I hear about it, is people just bear everything they want and tell everybody everything about it. And I'm glad I'm not there. Because I'm not sure I could handle facing the reality of the way people act. Some of you are going to regret talking about what you talk about to so many people. But if you have people, and all of Facebook ought to listen to a preacher that would say to them that if somebody's having a relationship problem, don't you make it worse by gossiping about it. Don't make it worse. Don't you care about people? Don't you want reconciliation? And don't you want people fixed? You don't fix people by telling everybody what's wrong with them. I started out so calm, but that's how it is. Relationship burdens. How can you and I help? Respect people's privacy. If there are relationship issues, whatever they are, respect people's privacy. Respect it. May I say this? In most cases, if there are relationship burdens, you and I as a Christian, we just need to stay out of it. I would recommend, and look right this way, I would recommend that you, first of all, know this. You are not the Savior. Some people, look right this way. Look right this way. We'll get it all cared for, and you look right this way. Be careful. Way too many people think they're a Savior, and they insert themselves into things, and they're going to fix everybody's problems, and often they make it worse. I would just say, watch your pride. Watch your pride. I would say this also, if you know someone that's having a relationship burden, I wouldn't spend a whole lot of time judging them. Something I have learned, I've counseled thousands of people in my lifetime and helped a lot of relationships. And let me make something clear to all of you. You don't know the whole story. You don't know the whole story. I wouldn't be passing judgment. If you want to help someone that has a relationship burden, whether it's between a parent and a child, a husband, a wife, a friend, whether it's between two Christians, a leader and a follower, there are things you can do. So what do? You pray. You don't gossip. You respect their privacy. In most cases, you need to stay out of it and don't get all puffed up in pride and say, I got to go solve that problem. Some of you are just way too sold on how smart you are. And don't judge. Look, if they ask your advice, you probably won't like this and you'll think this is a terrible, terrible thing to say. But if they ask your advice, most of the time you should say, go see the pastor. Go see the pastor. You know, a lot of people can't handle being in relationship turmoils. They just end up in turmoil too. So I had two people that weren't getting along. And by the time you get involved, now I've got three people that are not getting along. One of the best things in the world for you to say is say, if I were you, I'd go see the pastor, let him help you with that. Then, never make it worse. Don't make it worse. And some of the things I'm telling you can keep you from making it worse. When I'm dealing with relationship burdens, I always encourage forgiveness. Always encourage forgiveness. Not only that, I always encourage love. Why? Well, I could give you 115 verses real quick on it. Love, charity never faileth. We're to love one another. We're to be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, has forgiven you. If there is a relationship burden, you encourage forgiveness. If there is a relationship burden, you encourage love. If there's a relationship burden, look, don't repeat any negative comments. Matter of fact, don't want to hear any negative comments. Can I tell you how not to be a gossip? Shut your ears. You thought I was going to say mouth. No, most of the time once it gets in your ears, it probably come out your mouth. Because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaketh. But you know what? If it never gets in your ears, you don't have anything to repeat. Look, folks, in most cases, it's very dangerous to take sides when there are relationship issues. Relationship issues, people just want to get in there. I want to get in there. I'm going to help you solve this. Let's put our dukes up. Boy, that's not real scriptural. You say, well, whose side are you on, Pastor? God's. When you're counseling a relationship issue, on whose side are you? Are you on the man's side? Are you on the woman's side? Are you on the parent's side? I'm always on the same side. I'm on God's side. And if you'd like to step over where I stand, you may. But you two are in a mess. Might be good for you to come where I'm at instead of require me to come to one of the two of you. When I'm trying to help a relationship burden, I don't take sides. I stand with God. And so some of you say, man, that is really smart. That's one of the reasons why you ought to send them someplace else where someone could help them. Because so many times you say, well, I don't have to pick sides. Me too. I picked my side a long time ago. It's the side of Jehovah God. The one is perfect, holy, never made a mistake, has all wisdom, sees right through you, knows when you're lying, knows when you're right, when you're wrong. So what are we talking about? Relationship burdens. If you all want to help people, if you want to have a good relationship with people that are having a burden within their relationship, these kind of things will help you. You have to learn how to love everyone involved. Some of you are so emotional, you'll love the one that you like and the other one that you don't particularly like because the way they do certain things, you don't love them. You'll never have good relationships if you can't learn to love even the people that are not exactly the way you want them to be. Always encourage them to stay faithful to church and not quit their duties. Always. So, You say, I want to have a good relationship with somebody that's going through a time of burden. Let me give you some things. Pray. Don't gossip. Respect their privacy. Don't judge. You don't know the whole story. If they begin to ask advice, in most cases, you ought to say you need to go see the pastor. Go see the youth director. Don't make things worse. Always encourage forgiveness. Always encourage love. Don't repeat negative comments, and the best way to do that is not to hear any of them. It's dangerous to take sides. Be on God's side. That's a safe thing. Love everyone involved. Encourage faithfulness to church. And encourage not quitting their spiritual duties. Now, this will help you with your relationships. Make your relationships stronger and healthier. Now, but relationship burdens are not the only kinds of burdens we might face. There's a health burden. I want you to take your Bible and turn to Psalm 103. So you know what I'm doing for you tonight. I'm telling you things I wish I would have told people a long time ago. Part of what I do is help people carry their burdens. It's part of my responsibility as a pastor. And I'm kind of letting you inside my personal life and how I try to handle things and how I think lay folk should handle one another and the burdens of the people that we love and that we know. Psalm 103, now we're going to talk a little bit about the burden of one's health. Psalm 103, verse number 3. Well, let's start with verse 1. It says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases." I mean, we're going to face the burden of disease. We're going to face the burden of health issues. Now, when this is talking about healing all of our diseases, you do understand that if, for instance, He made us whole when we were plighted, when we were burdened down with sin, He healed us from that terrible, terrible thing called sin when He saved us. But there are a lot of issues that come with what I'll call health. Things like accidents. Somebody's in an accident and they're hurt, their body's hurt. There are diseases that come upon us. Health challenges, birth defects, the way someone's born. All of those things. Somebody's contracted some sort of an illness. Now, I think there are right and wrong ways. Here God is talking about the healing of all our diseases. You say, but Pastor, I know people that have passed away from their disease. And here the Bible says He healeth all our diseases. Well, as a Christian, let me guarantee you, He healed them. The minute they stepped into heaven, they were healed. And that, by the way, that is not the only kind of healing God does. God heals people, not like the squirrels on television, the wacky faith healers that get your money and whack you on the head and knock you backwards and all that sort of stuff. God still heals, though, and He does it miraculously. He may do it through a doctor. He may do it through medicine. That's God's call. God, you know what? He's the healer. I'm going to let Him do it any way He wants. But and so don't think there's not a miraculous healing. There certainly is. Man can turn it into a three-ring circus if he wants, but our God's still the great healer. And even if someone passes from a disease in this life, boy, you only live 80 years down here. We're going to live in eternity in heaven, and there is no disease up there. But how do you treat, how do you handle, how do you keep your relationship strong with someone that has a health burden? First of all, you pray. I think all my points probably start out that way. That's because I couldn't think of anything better to tell you. You pray. You pray. You pray for their healing. I have to tell you something. In the book of James, where it talks about healing and even letting the pastor pray for you and the anointing of oil, again, not turning it into a three-ring circus, I believe that God still does healings. You say, well, what do you pray, Pastor? I just pray for everybody to be totally healed. You say, how's that work out? I probably get more out of it than you do. I mean, I've just decided that if God told me I could pray for someone to be healed, you know what I do? I just pray that God heals them. You say, how much healing? I'll just take it all. I'd rather shoot for it all and only get partial than to shoot for nothing and get exactly what I shot for. So, pray for their healing. If someone's not well, pray for their healing. Hey, And not in a vain way. If you want to have a good relationship with them, don't be afraid to tell them that you're praying for their healing. You don't have to make a big deal out of it, but let them know. There are people in this room that I am praying for their healing. And I think there are people in this room that will get better reports because of it, because I believe God answers prayer. So if you want to have a good relationship with somebody that is facing a health burden, pray for them. Not only that, pray with them. Pray with them. Folks, if you go visit the hospital and there's somebody there that's not well, don't be afraid to ask if you can have a word of prayer with them. So I'm praying for them and I'm going to tell them, and when I get a chance, I will pray with them. Not only that, I will ask the Holy Spirit to control their attitude and my attitude about their health. I want to tell you one reason why. Do you understand? Sealed within each of us is the Holy Spirit of God. He has something to do with our understanding of what's happening to us. I just happen to believe the Holy Spirit plays a role in healing. He's a part of the Godhead. Now, a health burden. What else? When you have a relationship with someone and you're wanting to have a good, solid, healthy relationship with someone that's not well physically, I would just recommend that you be positive. Be positive. Some of you who tend toward the negative, you know your cup is half empty instead of half full, and you can pick up on the negatives of life just like that. Boy, if we ask you of a list of things that are going wrong, you could give it to me, but you'd have to work for days to give me a couple things that are going right. You need to be very careful going around sick people, because the last thing they need is your negative attitude. They're already facing some negatives in life. So learn to be positive when you're around people that are not well. I would probably tell you this. Don't ask them 100 times how they are. How are you? How are you? How are you? Now, every once in a while, you're going to ask, how are you feeling? How are you doing? But can you imagine in a church of a couple hundred people, if someone's not well, and if every time we have services, which is 3 times a week, all 200 people walk up to the same person and say, how are you doing? How are you doing? How are you doing? That's 600 times in 1 week. I'm going to guess they'll get tired of it, and they might have wanted to get it off their mind for a little while. And I know your inquiry is sincere, but let it be with wisdom. And just be careful that that's, you just don't ask that over and over and over again. Now, you can ask it, but not so repetitively that it just brands in their thinking the fact that they're facing a challenge. Also, if someone's not well, every one of us in the church, at home, you then must understand and accept certain physical limitations. That's just all there is to it. Usually we are impatient with someone that's not well in regard to their physical limitations when we're extremely healthy. You don't understand someone that has a back problem because you've never had a back problem, and you don't understand someone that has migraine headaches because you've never had them, but there are certain health issues that create limitations. And if God's blessed you with health, you're going to have to work a little extra to understand their limitations. You have to be understanding of it, and you'll have to make a way for it. So a health burden, I'm trying to have a good relationship with somebody that's got a burden with their health. That means I have to understand when they can't carry something because they had a back surgery or something else. I'm not irritated about that. I understand that. Why? I want a good relationship with them. I want to keep my relationship good with them. Now, let me tell you this also. Visiting the hospital when someone's not well is a part of helping to bear the burden of someone that has a health issue. Can I give you just a couple hints about what to do or maybe not to do at the hospital? I think sometimes this might be wise, depending on the situation, that you call before you visit. Not always, but most people in here that's been in the hospital, I probably gave you a call or let you know I was coming. I won't go into all the reasons why, but it can save us all a lot of embarrassment in certain instances. But sometimes call before you visit. Could I recommend that when you go to the hospital to visit someone that you care about, that you knock before you walk in their room? It's just a common courtesy. You say, well, wonder if I knock and they don't answer. Maybe they know it's you. No, listen, I'm in the hospitals, you know, day in and day out, every day of my life. And I see so many improprieties, and I see where someone cared and they wanted to help someone with a burden, but they embarrassed them and they caught them off guard and they said things that they probably shouldn't have said. And you leave the room and the patient is in worse shape than when you showed up. And I think there's a way to help someone that's burdened, and it will help your relationship to stay stronger with them. So call maybe before you visit, not always, but some. Knock before you enter. Don't stay too long. Look, if you're just one that just loves to talk and you don't have anybody to talk to, so you're going to go by the hospital and 3 hours later you're still talking and they're asleep, go ahead and shut her down, baby. Go home. But realize they're there because they're not well. So don't wear out your welcome. Now, also, if you're sick, be careful going to the hospital to visit someone that's not well. They're trying to get over it. They don't need to get yours.
You say, well, I got faith in God. I can be bit by scorpions and not be hurt.
Well, go walk on the railroad tracks and prove your power, but don't make somebody sick down at the hospital. So just be considerate of that. Next, if they're sleeping and you get to the hospital, I would recommend you just let them sleep. You say, why? Because they were up all night unable to sleep. You go to the hospital to get rest. It's the worst place in the world to get any rest. So if they happen to be asleep in most cases, you might want to let them sleep because they're thinking it's a miracle they are asleep. Look, be respectful. And this all has to do with someone that's got a burden. They're at the hospital. You're wanting to keep your relationship strong with them and really carry that burden properly. Be respectful to the doctors and nurses who are providing care. There are people in this room and people that are not in this room. They were in the hospital, and I, as the pastor, was there to visit. And a doctor came in or a nurse came in, and there was a procedure that needed to be taken care of. I always ask if I should dismiss myself or step out. I never hinder their health care while I'm there. I'm there to be a blessing. I'm not there to get in the road. And so I'm just attentive to a doctor or to a nurse that's come in, and if they need to do something, if they need something, I don't hinder that. Then also, be respectful. If they don't have a private room, you need to learn to be respectful to their roommate. You know, when people share rooms, you need to be careful that you do not infringe on somebody else and that you're cautious to be polite to their roommate. Also, I would recommend this. I would recommend that you respect their diet expectations. Kimmy Morgan was in the hospital. He's diabetic. And when I wanted to get him something while he was in the hospital, I got him sugar-free candy. But the last thing he needed me to do was go get him a bunch of candy if he was struggling with his sugar. And the pastor shows up and gives him more sugar. And you might not understand the diet restrictions. You might think, I'll tell you what you need. You need the Big Mac and fries, man. They're going to starve you out in here. You may feel that way, but when their cholesterol is through the roof and they just had a heart attack, you might want to back down on the French fries just a little bit. And so we do a little bit of it to be funny, but at the same time, just be careful, be appropriate. I think there's even times you need to watch colognes and perfumes. There are people that, hey, if they've been put under for a surgery, there's nausea and things that come upon them. Strong perfumes and colognes can just like that make them sick. So somebody's got a health burden. I went to visit at the hospital. I want to leave them in better shape than when I found them. I'm trying to handle it well and with propriety. If you visit in their home and somebody's sick, a lot of those very same guidelines are true. You'll find yourself received far quicker if you just make a little call and say, hey, I thought about stopping in to see you. Are you available? Would it be okay? Don't feel rejected if they say, well, right now I'm just not feeling well. Just give them a little space. Let me give you just a couple more under this thing of a health burden. Next, when you're around people that have health burdens, don't talk about the worst case scenarios regarding their illness. You understand what I'm saying? So they've got an illness. Okay, they've got diphtheria. Okay, nobody in here has diphtheria, right? A few of you look like dips, but I don't think it has anything to do with diphtheria. So they've got diphtheria. And you say, oh,
look on the internet and everybody dies from what you have. Oh, hang in there.
You're not real helpful. Here I am wanting everybody healed, and you're going around telling everybody they're going to die. So don't talk about worst case scenario regarding their illness. Next, do talk about best case scenarios. It's part of faith. It's part of our belief in the fact that God can get involved in what God can do. Then, nice card, an appropriate card. That's all fine. A little card, a little gift, make it fun. When Brother Hart broke his femur, I was there the moment he woke up from surgery, and I took him two balloons, one that said it's a boy and one that said it's a girl, and they've been in his room. And so I like to do stuff like that. Hey, and I think, Mrs. Owens, you were with me. We were walking in, and people, we were walking down the hallway. They said, well, you had a baby. Congratulations. I said, thank you. Thank you. We were walking in. Twins! I bet he broke his leg. But it was fun. We had a good time. You all don't know this. Mary Ross. How many of you remember Mary? She shut in for the longest time, a member of our church. Some of you would even know her if you've seen a picture of her. But she was in the nursing home. And when her health began to deteriorate, I remember one Mother's Day, we had put balloons, helium-filled balloons, all over our church, about 30 of them. And after the morning Mother's Day service was over with, we went over to Mary's room at the nursing home, and I took all 30 of those balloons with me and put them in her room. She was overwhelmed. She just laid there and cried. It was an encouragement. She was moved by it. We're trying to make things better, not worse. And let me tell you this about someone and their health and a health burden. Don't advise if you're not qualified to advise. Grandma's home remedy.
I know what you need. Toad saliva and baking soda. That's what Grandma Jones used on that.
Well, you might just let the doctors help them and be careful advising when you don't qualify. And let me tell you all something. Opposing a doctor's advice because your pride is going to your head may cost somebody their life. Boy, I watch people do things like that. And I'm always very, very careful. You better have an overwhelming dose of the wisdom of God on your life if you're going to be advising people about their lives and about their health. I'll give you a couple more on health. First of all, offer assistance to people that have a personal health burden. Things that you might do to help. They're down, you help mow the yard. They're down, you help feed the dog. They're down, you help feed the cat. They're down, you let the dog eat the cat. They're down. You might fix a meal. Maybe babysit. Everybody's got barbed wire. You could make a little fence and throw the kid in there and take care of him for a little while. But helping, and a lot of times, they don't need anything necessarily what we would call monetarily. But they could use a little assistance here or there. Things that they can't do that needs attended to. This also. I think Proverbs chapter 17, verse number 22, talks to us about how that laughter is a medicine. Humor is a medicine. When you're trying to help someone that's not well, when they don't feel well, appropriate humor can go a long way. Lightening the atmosphere. The Bible says laughter is a medicine. I often will send something funny or do something funny for someone that's not feeling well. Betty, her cancer came back, and she's under treatment. And you can criticize me for this if you want to, but I gave Betty the series of Lucille Ball to watch when she's having a rough day. Now, and I just happen to think Lucy's hilarious. And there's always Gomer Pyle and Andy Griffith and the last presidential election. And I don't know how you would do it and what you do, but You know, when somebody's not feeling well, if you can figure out a way to lighten their load and make them laugh a little bit and make life a little funner, the Bible says it's a healing thing. You know, Brother Ron, let me tell you something. When I go to the hospital and I'm in the rooms, anybody that's been around me will tell you when the doctors and nurses are in there, I always lighten things, and they almost love it. They laugh, they pun with me, we joke back and forth. I was in a hospital room not long ago with a doctor, and he had a Band-Aid on his elbow. I said, "Doc, you want to keep that clean and dry and make sure it doesn't get infected?" He said, "Why, thank you." I said, "That'll be $200." He laughed. He said, "Boy, you got up on the right side of the bed today." I said, "There is no wrong side for me, because anytime I can get out of bed, I feel like $1 million." And listen, that humor is healing, appropriate humor. Then, folks, could I recommend? I'm going to make about three more statements, and then I'm going to shut my sermon down. We're halfway through, and next week we'll do the other points of your relationship with people. We're going to do one with people have financial burdens, and people that have sin burdens because of sin. But let me finish up on the health burden tonight. May I recommend to you that bad news should wait and be delivered by the appropriate person. If somebody's not well, somebody's got a health issue, you need to be very cautious delivering bad news to someone like that. And you ought to also make sure you're the one that ought to be doing it. That means caution in what you say. Think before you talk. Somebody just had a heart attack, and then you walk in and you say to them, "By the way, your favorite goldfish just died." Now, don't take things like that to them. You're not looking for negatives. You're looking for positives, and you might not be the one that ought to be telling it anyway. I can't tell you how many situations that I have been in where a double tragedy took place and someone beat the right informer to the negative and made it worse. There have been times when I knew that I needed to give someone a little negative news, but they were not well enough at the moment to handle it. Somebody stepped up and decided it needed to be told, and it wasn't a somebody that should have done it. And it can send the one that's not well into a deeper state of stress. And so there's a wisdom that ought to be used. So be careful that you're not a bearer of a bunch of bad news. And if you're the one that needs to give the news, then be careful when and how you give it. When you're visiting and trying to help people that have health burdens, always be trying to strengthen their faith. Always be trying to strengthen their faith. Encourage them to be faithful to church. Encourage them to stay under the influence of the Word of God. I've watched a lot of people face burdens that have to do with health, and they don't realize what's happening to them. They begin to fall away from God, and they fall further and further away, and that's because they're not under the preaching of the Word of God, and they're not in church. So you always want to encourage them to be faithful to church. Now, I'm going to, next week, I'm going to talk to you about helping your relationship with somebody that's facing a financial burden. And then the week, or actually next week also, I'll do two parts this week and two parts next. We're going to talk about the burdens that come upon us because of sin or somebody else's sin, and how do we help our relationship with somebody that's maybe gotten themselves into sin, and maybe even how to help ourselves when we get ourselves into sin. But the relationship with someone who has a burden. Galatians 6:2, "Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill law of Christ." That's what Christians do. But there's a right and a wrong way to help bear burdens. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Tonight, it's a very practical and informative lesson about the proprieties of helping people who are facing heartaches or burdens or setbacks in life. Let's all learn from it. Let's mature from it. Let's be better because of it. Let's guard our words, guard our thoughts, guard how we handle things. Do what we do on purpose. Become good at the bearing of burdens. who here tonight would say, Pastor, God has spoken to my heart. I've been challenged. I've learned some practical things that will better help me to bear the burdens of others. Would you let God see your hand? Amen. Amen. And I know we'll work at it. Boy, a church like ours that cares and loves people like we do, this will just take us to a higher level. I think we're already at a high level of propriety, but even a higher level in helping people with burdens. Now, who here would say, Pastor, I know someone right now that is facing a heavy burden. I know of someone that's facing a burden in life. Would you raise your hand? Oh, boy, almost every hand in this building. You may put those hands down. We're going to have an altar call in a moment. I'll turn to Mrs. Young. She'll begin to play the piano. When she does, we're going to stand. It may be you just need to come and get on your knees for a moment and pray. Maybe you need to come pray for someone that has a burden. Maybe you need to come and pray that they'll be healed. Maybe it's a relationship, and it's really, you don't need the details. You just need a moment on your knees to ask God to get involved and help. It's one of the greatest things you could do. Maybe you misuse your social media. You say things that you shouldn't. Maybe you ought to come down here and say, God, help me never to spread things I shouldn't, but always to pray more than I gossip. I don't know. Maybe you face a burden and you need to come down here and pray. We're going to have a moment of altar call. So if you need to come and pray for a moment, you may. And it won't be long. We'll be on our way. I'll ask the pianist to begin to play. Let's stand to our feet with our heads bowed and our eyes closed. If you know somebody that's got a burden, you come and pray. If you have a burden and you want to come and pray, you may do so. If you're not saved, if you died today, you don't know for a fact you'd go to heaven, you come. We'll take a Bible. We can show you how to be born again. You can leave this place on your way to heaven. When we discover relationship burdens, let's handle ourselves properly. When we come across people that have health burdens, let's handle ourselves properly, scripturally, biblically. Next week, we'll talk about how to keep a good, strong relationship with someone that faces a financial burden. Then, we'll also talk about a burden that has come upon someone because of sin. Their sin. They've dropped the ball scripturally. Now, what do we do? How do we handle ourselves? How do we keep our relationship biblically appropriate with them and help them? Remember, there are right and wrong ways to help. There are right and wrong things to do. There are right and wrong things to say. And we always want to leave someone in better shape than when we found them. That's our goal.